When we are Christians and we're born again and we are members of a church, what are we really? What does God want us to do? According to the scriptures, I believe that we should be fellow helpers of the truth. Fellow helpers of the truth. I just came back from a conference that I believe really has great potential. And it's called the Independent Baptist Friends International. And I believe in that conference, we saw a lot of people, and this is the second year, come together and say that we know what we're about, and we know what we're trying to do. And that all of us are fellow helpers together. Turn to 3 John, if you will, not the gospel account of John, but the little book of 3 John. Let's go to chapter 10. 3 John. All right, just want to see if you're listening. 3 John. And I want to read all 14 verses and then make some comments on these verses as we talk about being faithful to the truth at any cost. The elder unto the well-beloved, verse 1, 3 John 1, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity, thy love, before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Now, I think that's a very touching and intimate passage of Scripture. And what he is saying here is in reminding us that we should be committed to the truth. We should be faithful to the truth at any cost. Whatever the cost may be, we should be faithful. 6 times in those 14 verses, you will find the word truth. He uses a 7th time the word true, but 6 times the word truth. And he gives us a comparison of some men here. He talks about Demetrius and Gaius, and he talks about them in a positive light. But then he talks about somebody in verse 9 that is wanting to fight the truth and give trouble. You know, the devil is always around to fight the truth. Verse 9 says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. There were 2 guys that were being faithful to the truth, and then there was one that wanted the preeminence. And the word preeminent is used only 2 times in the Bible, once here, and the other time it refers to Jesus Christ. And what it literally means, what it's talking about, is not one of, that's different, one of so many, but it means the only one. And you know who that's reserved for? Jesus. He is the only one that should have preeminence in the local church. He is the only one that should have preeminence in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Diotrephes wanted to be the one and only one. But God says there's not room for both of us in that position. I have to be the only one. In verse 8, he talks about the fellow helpers to the truth. Fellow helpers to the truth. He's commending them for doing that and challenging us tonight to be fellow helpers to the truth. You and I have the truth. Now, in case you don't know what the truth is very simple. It isn't complicated. And I want to be clear on this so you'll know what we're talking about. We have the truth. The truth is that all people are sinners. Amen? The truth is that sin has to be paid for. Isn't it correct? The wages of sin is death. That is eternal separation from God, not only physical death. The truth is Jesus died on the cross and paid that debt for you. That's the truth. And the truth is, if you believe in your heart and mind and you're willing to confess Jesus with your tongue and call on Him and ask Him to come into your heart and save you, He will right then and right there save your soul completely, totally, absolutely, without reservation. Now, if you're here tonight and you think you're going to get saved by your good deeds, you're wrong. You say, well, preacher, I say, are you saved? Well, I'm trying. You can try all you want to. You'll never get to heaven by trying. You say, well, I've been baptized. I was baptized as an infant. When we were in the Jordan River, I was baptizing Brother Ms. Luke, and before we got ready to baptize, two women came down to the other pastor, and I said, will you baptize us? And we said, well, sure, if you have a testimony, you got saved, you know the Lord. And they said, we said, come on in the water. They said, come in the water? Yeah, come on down in the water. They said, you got to go in the water to be baptized? We said, yeah. It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is what it's all about, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they decided they didn't want us to baptize them. They said, well, we'll baptize each other. But anyway, they went on their way. They were nice ladies, but they had missed what it was all about. Baptism comes after you're saved, not to get you saved, not before you're saved. And I don't care if you've been baptized 1,000 times and every tadpole knows your serial number. My friend, you're not going to heaven until you get born again. You say, well, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist. You say, preacher, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed of myself. What else can I say? But it's not being a Baptist that's going to get us to heaven, is it? Just being a Baptist with a capital B is not what's going to get you or me to heaven, or any other religion or any other denomination. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else I said tonight and you're here without Christ or you're not sure of your salvation, there's one way. We have the truth. The truth is Jesus loves you and died for you, and you can be saved tonight. And my friend, that's the only wise thing for you to do. Trust Christ. Why do you think He came? Why do you think He died on the cross? What was His blood being shed for? Was God just using Him as a great martyr? Absolutely not. He was the ransom. He paid the price for all of our sins. We're justified by grace through Jesus Christ. Now he mentions Gaius, and verses 1 and 2, he says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. I like those words, well-beloved. You see, they had an affinity. They had a real love for one another, whom I love, how? Qualified in the truth. I love him in the truth. We have the truth. We need to take the truth to others that others might be changed. Gaius was that way. Now notice what he said. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Now watch the wording here. Even as thy soul prospereth. Now think about that phrase, that last phrase. Even as thy soul prospereth. We spend a whole lot of time on the physical, making sure that we are all right physically, but many times we neglect the soul. As a matter of fact, what if we were to say that tonight, if they would say, thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospereth. Some of us would need to call 911. As your soul prospers, may your health and may your other benefits and welfare be there. And we would, if we were telling the truth about our soul maybe is not prospering. It is poor. We neglect it. We neglect the spiritual things. We take care of the health things and the physical things and the things of pleasure. But what about the spiritual things? Then in verse 4 he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What gives you joy tonight? What gives you joy? John said, I have no greater joy than my children walk in the truth. And I think he's not only talking about the fact that that ought to bring us joy, that our children, our physical children, walk in the truth, but that our spiritual children walk in the truth, those we've led to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, nothing makes me any happier than to see people who are walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. How important that is. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And if we're going to walk in the truth, we must know the word of God. I'm glad God gives us what some have referred to as soul liberty. God gives us choice. I'm glad that he does. I'm glad God gives us the priesthood of the believer. You don't have to come through me. I don't have to go through any priest anywhere to get to God. We have a high priest who is at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for us. And the only one you need to go to is him. You don't even have to come to me. I'll pray with you and pray for you. But friend, we go to him. He's the one. And he is our high priest. He talks about faithfulness. Thank you for that song on faithfulness. And he talks about it in verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And the emphasis here, and we'll come back to this verse, but the emphasis here is what you do, do it faithfully. Stand for the truth faithfully. And help others faithfully. Get involved together with others so that we can be faithful to the truth. And again, we're reminded opposition's going to come. There will always be some Diotrephes around fighting us. That always happens. It's just always there. You know why? He wanted to be preeminent. He didn't want to hear the truth. He didn't want them to tell him about Jesus. He wanted to run his own show in a religious fashion, and he didn't have time for the truth. But then in verse 12, there's another guy who had a good report. Demetrius hath good report of all men. Boy, that's a good statement, isn't it? Could people say that about you? Could you believe that people would say that about you? That you have good report of all men? That should be our testimony, I think, that we have good report of all men and good report of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. He says, here's a guy that we know has a good testimony, and he's still standing for the truth. Let Diotrephes do what he wants to, but let's be like Demetrius and Gaius, who really was standing for the truth, and he had a good report. Now, very quickly, our ministry, what is it? Well, go back to verse 5 again. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Do it to brethren and to strangers. He's talking about helping people out. Helping out your brother or sister in Christ and helping out other people who are strangers who yet have not been saved. And this is a model ministry. This is what he's saying. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Do it and do it faithfully, an exemplary ministry that God wants us to have. What's he talking about? He's talking about encouragement. I believe that's a key word here. Encouragement. Do it to others. Encourage others. You see, it's not just the pulpit preaching that's important. It's not just playing an instrument well that's important. It's not just singing good that's important. It's not just the special music that is totally important. But what is important is that we all jump in and become fellow helpers to the truth. And everybody can get involved in that. Everybody can do that. You see, there are a lot of people hurting, and we can help those people out. There are a lot of people who need ministering to, and we can minister to them, both the saved and the lost, and we need to do that. And we can do that many times through our prayer life. You take a cell phone, for instance, and you might be standing right here by me, and I'll call you, and you think, well, it goes from here to there, but it doesn't, does it? It goes way up to a satellite or some tower somewhere or something. It shoots it out again. I used to sell, Motorola, General Electric. That was our competitor. Sorry, equipment. But anyway, well, I used to sell two-way frequency modulated two-way radios. And we had a system that literally I could punch, the FBI could punch a button and talk from the East Coast to the West Coast. And all it did was shot a signal up, shot it again, shot it again, shot it again, shot it again, and very quickly, all the way to the West Coast, and the FBI could talk to somebody out there and give them a license plate and get back like that. Did you know you and I can be an encouragement to other people? How? We can pray. And we can pray for people all over the world. And our prayers will be heard. God will hear our prayers. I think of Bill and Sharon Smith. We were talking about them at lunch over there in Brazil. Now we got internet and all that stuff, but aren't you glad that we can pray that God would bless them and our other missionaries and use their lives over there and meet their needs? And if we find out they're going through trials, pray for them. Thank God we can all do that and be an encouragement through prayer, and we can help all over the world. Look at verse 6. Which have borne witness of thy charity, that is love, before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. What's he talking about? There again, encouragement. Do what? Bring them forward. In other words, cheer them on. If we would do less criticizing each other and tearing each other down and cheer each other on, say, come on, run the race. Come on, run the lap. Come on, get the job done. Come on, win a soul. Come on, let's work together for the glory of God. We're on the same team. We're trying to do the same thing, hopefully by the grace of God. Then, friends, we'd get the job done. We're to cheer each other on. That's part of it. We have the truth. Let's cheer each other on with the truth. And then our motive. What is our motive? Well, look at verse 7. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. For whose name's sake? His name's sake. Why did they go forward? Why were they doing what they were doing? It was for the glory of God. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not anxious to go. But I'm not afraid to die. But one thing that does concern me, and I think about my ministry 14 years here, 44 years in the ministry in full time, 10 in Virginia, 20 in Indiana, about right at 20, and then the 14 here and headed toward the 15, the Lord willing. And I think about all of that and I wonder, dear God, how much of what I have done has been in the flesh or for the wrong reason or the wrong motive? When you start out in the ministry, you better get that right, young men, quickly. Because too many times we're trying to make a name for ourselves. We're trying to let everybody know, mama and daddy and aunts and uncle and grandma and grandpa and the people down at the church and everybody else. That is not the motive behind what we're supposed to be doing. And I know, and I'm afraid, that some of what I've done will be wood, hay, and stubble. And at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be burned up. And we have to always, constantly be careful and watch that. That we labor for the right motive and the right reason. Every sermon should be for the right motive and right reason. Every song sung should not be for self-glory, but for His glory. Every ministry that you do should not be for your glory, but for His glory. For the glory of God. Not to be seen of men. Do you know who our audience ought to be? I'm trying to please one person. And as much as I love my wife, it's not just her. Above and beyond all of that, I'm trying to have an audience of one. If I can go to bed at night, pillow my head and say, Lord, I've tried to do my best for your glory today, then I can sleep well. If not, I cannot. Turn to Matthew very quickly, verse 19, just a second. Let's see what the Lord has to say about this very quickly, like Matthew chapter 19, and we'll drop down to verse 27. Matthew 19, 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. They said, Peter, you go ask him. We're doing all this stuff. Peter, you go up there and ask Jesus. You go ask him. You always open your mouth and put your foot in it. So go on up there and ask him. God give me some of what Peter had. Amen. Peter said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? You know what he was saying? Hey, Jesus, what's in it for us? We're doing all this stuff. What's in it for us? What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? We go to church and other people sleep in. Some of our members are not here tonight, are they? But you're here. Thank God for you. You're here. You go to church and others sleep in and they relax or they watch television while you're here at church listening to me preach. Oh, my soul. And you wonder, what's in it for me? What good is that? All of that going to do? You sacrifice in giving your offerings. Thank God for people who give tithes and offerings to the work of God. And it is a sacrifice. Although I know God blesses and you can't outgive God, but still, you have to make up your mind by faith to step out and say, I'm going to do it because God said do it, the tithes and offerings. And we do that by faith. And we wonder, well, you know, my brother just bought a brand new boat. And my sister and her husband just got a brand new car. And they just bought a big house with umpteen square feet in it and all that kind of stuff. And we're thinking, what's in it for me? I'm making all of these sacrifices. Well, let's read on. In verse 28, And Jesus said unto them, he always has an answer, Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me, in the generation when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Oh, I like that. When the Son of Man, who is that? Jesus, shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Is it worth it? Oh, yes. He's going to rule and reign in his kingdom, and we're going to rule and reign with him. And depending on how well you serve him in your sacrificial life, and you do it all for Jesus, he is not going to let that go unrewarded. And it is Christ alone that deserves it, and he gives the guarantee. I'm not giving you the guarantee. He's giving you the guarantee. I'm going to honor you and bless you. And then our message, verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. To the truth. And that's what I was talking about in the beginning of the message. You see, the world has a lot of lies, doesn't it? I mean, they're just saturated with lies. They'll tell you all kinds of things. Everything from evolution to any other thing that might be philosophical, whatever it may be. They can quote Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and all of that. They can try to verify everything by science, many of those things. The world lies about those things. And let me tell you who's behind all that, the devil. He is the father of lies. He started that mess in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? He got kicked out of heaven, and there in the Garden of Eden, lied to them. There's a whole world out there, and the vast majority are going to believe him again. And they're going to believe what Antichrist says. The devil's going to lie again. And he's going to say that he has all the answers. And in Antichrist, he's going to promise them that. But God's going to show that he is a horrible and eternal liar. Now, they need the truth. He said that it should be for the truth. Fellow helpers to the truth. Are you a fellow helper tonight to the truth? Are you just a nominal Christian who doesn't get involved, who doesn't witness and doesn't pray and doesn't read your Bible and doesn't go to church regularly? That won't cut it. They need to hear the truth. Now, listen, how are they going to hear the truth? How are people out there going to hear the truth? The devil's not going to tell them the truth. The religious crowd's not going to tell them the truth. But you and I should tell them the truth. They need to hear the truth from those who know the truth. And the truth will set them free. And that is the church, the visible body of Jesus Christ on this earth. And it's not only our church, it's other churches. We are fellow helpers. We work together. We're not the only church in this city. There are many other good churches. And tonight they are having services and they are preaching and souls are being saved. They're lifting up Jesus Christ. They are not our enemies. They are our fellow helpers. And we should not be envious or jealous or put them down. We should labor together as fellow helpers in the work of the Lord and work with other people to get the job done. And we should be friends with anybody who is doctrinally correct and a friend of grace and a friend of Jesus Christ. We cannot compromise and be ecumenical, but we have some friends out there, the visible body of Christ, and God has given us the Great Commission, and we dare not let up on it. We dare not let up on the truth. We ought to live and do all that we do in order to get the truth, to preach the truth. And the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is not the building. The church is the people. You and I, you and me tonight, we are the ones who should give the truth. And I ask you, are you a fellow helper to the truth? The answer can't be in the middle. It's either yes or no. There's no in between. Are you a fellow helper to the truth? No middle ground. And we have a royal crusade, and we need to win the lost. The time to do it is right now. We don't need to wait. We need to do it tonight. We need to do it now. We need to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit upon the ministry and upon our lives, and together with others get the truth out so that souls would be saved. Paul said, I'm taking all of this. Why, Paul? For the furtherance of the gospel. All that we do should be for the furtherance of the gospel. Here's a poem. I want to read it to you in closing the message. It's called The Royal Crusade, written by Amber LaCroix. Quickly fall upon your knees. Kingly orders now receive. Take your armor, sword, and shield. Rush at once into the field. Fight the foe, the captives free. The trumpet calls out, follow me. Enlist the brethren who round you pause. Join them to our noble cause. Turn not back, there's no retreat. This army must not know defeat. Press on till victory is gained. Fail not, this is the last campaign. Trust not man's might to turn the tide. God is your strength, in him abide. When vision fades and faith has left, remember he who conquers death. We do not face the foe alone. Almighty God shall lead his own. Now is the time. The moment's come. Hasten ere the day is done. Turn not back. There's no retreat. This army must not know defeat. Press on. Press on. We cannot cease. Our God shall have the victory. Amen. Let's stand, please. If you feel that way about it tonight, and you want to be a fellow helper to the truth, could I encourage you to come to this altar tonight, as many of you as will, get on your face before God and tell God that you want to be a fellow helper to the truth. And whatever it takes, you're going to join that royal crusade and keep on keeping on for the glory of God. And friend, listen. I want to be very clear about this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You say, well, I hope so, preacher, and I think I got a good chance. And I'm trying to get there. Listen. Listen to me carefully. Release all of that and come to Jesus tonight. I'll meet you right down here. Nobody will embarrass you. Come and trust Him as your Savior tonight. Would you do it? There are unsaved people here, I'm sure, in a congregation this large. Come to Christ. We have the truth. And friend, let me tell you something. The truth will set you free. Free now from the guilt of sin and free from the fear of eternal damnation, separated from God. Free to know Jesus as your Savior.